All right.
Because there are two realms that operate in the earth, but I'm not getting into it. Keep me this way, Jesus. Keep me this way. Hallelujah. But y'all are here in the right place. Amen. At the right time. Hallelujah. To just let God love on us through His Word and receive from His love, because the only true love that we can receive comes from the unadulterated pureness of His Word. Amen. His Word, because faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. Amen. And we're stirring up our faith in becoming love conscious. Amen. We're talking about God's love language. Amen. These last few Wednesday nights. And all the more in the day and in the hour that we're living, we need to be more and more aware of the love consciousness that God restored back to us. Amen. For all of us believers in the house tonight. Amen. And so we've been talking on this subject of love and the agape love, which we know only can be found in Christ. And we said this, that every heart of man is void or has a empty love tank that only God can fill, right? And before the fall of man, God and God alone was the only one that desired to be the object of our love, and that we were then the object of His desire. Amen. And He wanted to lavish His love on mankind, but because of the fall, we know that then sin came into the world, and this is where sin consciousness came in, or our sin nature came into play. And from that very sin consciousness and sin nature, we know that that is where every root of dysfunction came from. That's where guilt, shame, fear, condemnation, all of those things that you, are up underneath before Christ, you feel all of those things, and they're operating in your heart because of the sin nature. But God came and sent His Son, Jesus, which was the manifest presence of agape love to the earth to redeem man, so that then He can then, Romans 5:5 says, what? Pour His love in our heart, or shed His love in our hearts, right? And so now our love tanks can be full, our hearts can be full of God and a God consciousness and a love consciousness. Amen. But the problem is that our heart is the seat of our emotions and our mind, our will, all of these things that are in opposition of what really is going on in our spirit, man. And it's the thing that now God wants to fill with His words of affirmation towards us. And we said we started this thing, and I can't go back over all the notes because something struck a chord in me about the book, The Five Love Languages. And we said that as great as the book is, what happens when you're doing all these things for your spouse, but yet they still are still empty and void themselves, that no matter what you do by trying to show them their love language because of something they may have lacked in childhood, maybe their parent didn't spend quality time with them, so they really love having quality time with you. Or maybe their parent was very busy, and they want to have that time. Maybe their parent was very harsh with them and never gave them words of affirmation like, I love you and I'm proud of you, and all of those different things that we see they're saying there's a void of. Well, what happens is if you're doing that as a spouse, and yet it's still coming up not enough. Well, we realize it's because man was never created to be the one that was to affirm people. Only God was. And so if that person is still lacking in their relationship with the Lord and they're not complete and haven't allowed the Lord to heal their broken heart, then no matter how many gifts you give that person, no matter how awesome you tell that person that they are, no matter, you know, how much time you spend with that person, they'll never be satisfied because they're still incomplete in Christ. And only God can satisfy those things. And so, it's so important that we recognize that we, because of the fact that we were brokenhearted and had that sin consciousness, some people, even though they may be born again, are still listening to the lies of the enemy and that's flooding their hearts. And instead of them filling their hearts with what God says about them, they're still listening to the lies that the enemy is telling them. Like, you're not good enough, or you'll never, you can never trust anyone, or, you know, all kinds of things that, he tries to put on you of condemnation, guilt. He tries to keep you in those things and keep your heart filled with lies, fear, condemnation, offense, doubt, shame, disappointment, depression, worry, frustration, resentment. Listness, judgment, pride, all of these things he tries to keep you in and bound to by telling you the lies of these things. But if we can take God's word and hear what he says about us and start filling our hearts or filling our love tanks with those things, what the scripture says, then guess what can flood our hearts? Peace, come on, security, joy, love. Contentment, satisfaction in him. Instead of insecurities, we're secure in Christ. And the scripture will give us everything that we need to combat all the lies of the enemy. Do you understand that? He has a word for everything that the enemy is trying to keep you bound to. He has a word to eradicate that lie. And so the problem is, if we're not in the word, meditating in the word, we said this, abiding in the word, abiding in the vine, if we're not paying attention to the word of God, it says, let me read the last scripture that we read last week. I believe it was in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. It says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Do not lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep in your heart." And remember, in Ephesians chapter 3, we said that the love of God wants to come and settle down in your heart. It wants to make his permanent home within your heart, his love. But what happens is, and then it goes on to say, and then let his roots grow deep within you. But what happens is that when we listen to the lie, we go and pluck up, come on, that love consciousness and pluck it up. And it can never take root so that it can heal the brokenhearted. So that if it's growing in your heart and taking root, then when the lie comes, that word that you already know is truth is now able to combat it because it's not been uprooted by the lie. But if you listen to the lie, then it doesn't take root. It's uprooted again. And we talked about, a plant that's constantly being uprooted. It can never grow deep in your heart and right in the ground and take root. Because you keep transplanting it, so to speak, with the lie of the devil. And so he can never settle down in your heart, Ephesians chapter 3 says, I believe it's verse 17 through 21 is what we read in the Amplified, or make his permanent residence in you. He can never do that because you keep listening to the lie. And every time you listen to the lie, instead of combating it with the word that God spoke to you, you're just uprooting it every time. And so it's never taking root and it's never growing deep within you. The love consciousness. And so here we have this battle that's constantly going on. And so we said last week that it's so important that we are meditating in the word day and night, right? That the faith only comes from hearing, and from hearing from the word of God, not having heard. I may have heard one time that he loved me, but if I'm not keeping that in my consciousness, if I'm not meditating in the word and guarding my heart and not letting the enemy's lies yank it out, come on, because we know that the enemy comes to steal what? The seed of the word out of your heart. We just started a new, pastor just started a new series, didn't he? So the number one thing the enemy wants to do, the minute you hear the good news, the minute you hear a word from God, the minute you hear what you're supposed to do with the word to be able to combat the devil, immediately he comes to try to snatch that seed out of your heart. So why? It cannot get deeply rooted in you, because he knows that the minute you are, come on, oh, firmly persuaded that you are loved by God, nothing can separate me from his love. Come on. Nothing can separate me from his love. Know this, you can separate from his love. Just know that. Amen? But we've got to be people that say nothing is going to separate. Nothing's going to come between me and my love relationship with the Lord. Yes. Nothing. Nothing's going to come between me and the Lord. And you've got to be firmly persuaded of that. Amen? And that's when you are so full of God's love. Your love tank is full and overflowing. And we said it's so important that we understand this so much, because not only did God love us, and not only were we supposed to reciprocate that love back to him, but we are to then be an outflow of that love. And if we are not full of his love and healthy in our heart, then we are only going to give what we have. Because you cannot give out what you don't have. It's a principle and a spiritual law. And so if you still have unhealthiness and a sin consciousness in your heart, every time you go to try to, you're just, it's flowing out of you. And we read that scripture, you're a reflection of your heart and what's going on. The words that are coming out of your mouth, the way you're behaving, the things that you're doing, your action is a reflection of what's going on in your heart. If you're always stressed, anxious, all those things, it's just a reflection of what's going on internally. Because the peace of God is supposed to rule our hearts and our lives and our mind, right? And it's just an indication that your love tank is not full. He wanted us to live full and complete in him, didn't he? And that was found in Colossians chapter 2. So last week, we were able to get to words of affirmation. We talked about the fact that words of affirmation is that, what does God say about you? What does he say in his word about you? We cannot listen to what the enemy says about us. We cannot listen to what people say about us. We can't take in, what our grandmothers and people in our lives, our co-workers, all these people that they try to tell us who we are and what we are like. No, we are supposed to find that in Scripture and listen to what God says that we are, right? And this is how we're going to receive those words of affirmation from him. Remember, we said we have to receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our soul. So we have to receive in that seed. That seed has to get impregnated in us. That's a great way to say that. It has to give birth within us, the things that God says about us. And until it gives birth within us, then we'll still live in a broken heart and a sin consciousness. So it has to give birth in us, right? And I'm going to tell you, when it's planted in you, every woman knows, every spouse knows, that your body goes through some changes once a seed gets planted in you. And a lot of times that process is not always fun, is it? I mean, sometimes it makes you sick. I tell you what, when God was restoring my brokenhearted, sometimes it just made me feel slap sick to my stomach. Shame, condemnation, the things that I had to overcome. But I had to go through the process of healing and allowing God to reaffirm me so that I could be free from that pain. You know, some people just live with their pain in the natural. When God wants you completely healed physically, right? Through, by his stripes, you were healed. So he wants, healing belongs to the children. He wants you to walk in divine healing. He wants your body healed. He wants your body restored. Well, that's the same way with you spiritually. He wants your brokenhearted healed completely, but some people just live with the pain and suffer through with the guilt and the shame and the condemnation, and they're born again, and God never wants you to have to live that way. He wants you completely restored and healed so that you can be free from the nagging pain that's always trying to keep you down and keep you from your full potential and keep you from blossoming or blooming into the real person that God created you to be, to keep you from not fulfilling. The enemy's trying to keep you from not fulfilling your full purpose in the earth that he desired for you. So these words of affirmation are, and we just said a few things like this. You hear the devil tell you, or people say, you're not loved, but God said he first loved us. In the scripture, what do? You go and you find what he says. John 15:9. As you're reading through the word and meditating in it every day, the Lord will show you through scripture what he says about you so that you can combat that lie. He tells you you're not good enough, right? The enemy. But God says you are the righteousness of God in Christ, right? That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. What else? He says you're a failure, but God says in Jeremiah he had a plan for you, right? And a plan to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. So you have to take the words that he's saying about you and let them take root and get that seed within your heart and begin to say that instead of believing the lie that the enemy is telling you. What about this one, women? You're ugly. You'll never match up to those billboards and those magazines and those Hollywood stars. You're ugly, but God said in Song of Psalms says you are beautiful and there is no blemish in you. What is he doing? He's affirming you with his words. He's affirming you with his words. Words of affirmation are coming from the Lord. Amen. How about this one? Everyone is against me. I'm all alone. I mean, I'm just lonely. I mean, I'm just all alone. Everyone's against me. But Hebrews 13 says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So you have to allow that word to affirm you so that he can begin to fill your heart with those words of affirmation. Amen. Because it doesn't matter how many times your husband or your wife may tell you you're beautiful or you're handsome. If you don't believe it because God says it about you. Right? Remember, Pastor was teaching on love. And, you know, it's just important that we go back and listen to what he says about agape love. And meditate in those scriptures. And keep them on your refrigerator. Keep them on your phone highlighted so that every day or whatever in your journal that you can go back and you can read what God says his love is to you. Amen. You know, many people can read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I say this in the class that I teach on the foundation of love in our Bible school. Many people can read about God's love, but they don't read it in the context that God's love is that towards me. God's patient with me. God's long-suffering with me. God's, come on, see? Can we receive those words of affirmation even from God? If you're not going to receive it from man, how in the world, if you have a hard time receiving, you know, somebody telling you that you are beautiful and no, I'm not, then how are you going to receive it when God's trying to tell you that you are? So we have to look at ourselves and ask ourselves those questions. Are we receiving the love from God? Are we receiving it? Because he is so trying to give it in every way. In every arena, he's trying to what? Pour out his love. We know that he drew us by his love. All of those things, he's trying to pour it out on us, but are we having a hard time receiving what he's saying about us? We have to ask ourselves that question. Another love language that we see in the book, and I mentioned this, was receiving gifts. Some people's love language, who wouldn't want to receive a gift? I mean, I think that would be everybody's love language, don't you? And I said that with God, he wants to meet every one of these love languages, and every person really should be receiving from these love languages, all five of them. Because it's what's needed, what? At the time. You know what? I may not need you to affirm me today, but I sure do need some quality time. Or I may not need that gift today, but I sure do. I just want to spend some time with you and my family. Right? So it's what's ever needed at the time. And guess what's so awesome about God is he knows exactly what you need before you. He knows exactly what you need. Amen? And so one of those gifts was receiving gifts, or one of the love languages was receiving gifts. And guess what? God is the greatest giver. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son so that what? Whoever would believe in him would have what? Another gift that he gave was eternal life, redemption. He is the greatest giver of all, and he wants to lavish us with gifts. He wants to give us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You understand that no one can outgive God. He gave his precious son, and that blood was worth what? More than silver and gold. So no one can outgive God. No one can. It says in James, here's a scripture. In James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect, I like this, every perfect, and the Amplified says it this, free large and full gift is where? From above. It comes down from the Father of all that gives light in the shining of whom there can be no variation, rising or setting or shadow casting by his turning as in an eclipse. Hey, there is no change in his mind. Every good and perfect gift and free, full, and large. He likes to live large and full. And it all comes from him. Hallelujah. Say thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Another gift we said is the gift of eternal life. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but what? The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ our Lord. How about this one? The gift of grace and righteousness. Romans 5:17. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in, listen to this, all who will receive it will live in triumph over sin. If we are to live in triumph over sin, then guess what I say? We are to live in triumph over a sin consciousness. And we have to become a righteousness consciousness. Amen. And he gave us as a gift. So he is the greatest giver. Not only that, he gave each and every one of us a special gift. Each and every one of us. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What are you doing with the gift that God gave you? I can tell you, you're doing nothing with it if you've not let your heart be healed. We are his creation and his design, and each and every one of us has a gift that he wants to be able to employ us and use us in. And so every one of us has a responsibility to use that gift to serve one another. But a broken heart will keep you selfish. Because a broken heart is a selfish heart. Because it's only concerned about what it's feeling and how it feels and what it is going through. So therefore, you really can't really serve anyone else that gift. Not only did he give us a special gift, each and every one of us, so just say, I am special. Because he gave me a special gift. What would be my special gift? The next thing is we see that not only does he give us a special gift, he also gives us spiritual gifts. Man, he's just the gift that keeps on. He gives us spiritual gifts, a variety of spiritual gifts the Bible talks about, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, y'all just go ahead and put 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, all talks about gifts that God has given, spiritual gifts, gifts, the fact that we are in the body of Christ and every one of us is a gift and every one of us is needed. But not only that, he says in 1 Corinthians 12:31, it says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. And the greater gift that he was talking about was love. Love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 3, it says, if I could speak of all the tongues and languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could even move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. And if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. You think, well, how can you do all these things and not have love? Because you're doing them out of a selfish ambition of a heart.
Right. That's right.
A selfish heart, really, because you just want to please man. You want to be a man pleaser. And you're not doing it out of a heart of selflessness, which is agape and God's love. What about this? He also gives us gifts of ministers in Ephesians chapter 4. I mean, come on. And I'm so thankful for all the wonderful gifts that y'all honored us with the pastor's appreciation. I got my tree planted, and I'm getting the roots. Come on, I planted it so that the roots can start growing deep, and so that when the spring comes, hopefully I'm going to have some blooms on it. But he gave ministers as gifts, he said. He gave gifts, right? Some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, teachers, right? Evangelists, what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service. So our God's gift to you was these ministry gifts to help equip you. Come on. Like I'm trying to do right now, to be able to overcome a broken heart. So he just gives us so many gifts, doesn't he? Isn't he a wonderful giver? Have you actually partook of the gifts that he's given? Not only did he give the gift of ministers, but he also gave us the gift of the Spirit, didn't he? Which we're going to talk about later. So there's so many things that he has given us to prove his love for us. Do you know that? Isn't that what really people want? I want you to prove that you love me. Haven't you heard people say that? I want you to prove you love me. And if you do this, 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 and this, then I'll know you love me. And here God has done this, this, and this. Come on. To prove his love for us. To prove his love for us. By giving us gifts. By giving us words of affirmation when the world told us we would never amount to anything and we were a piece of junk and we would never be. Come on. He told us who we really are. Who we really are. We're the sons of the Most High God. Come on. We're kings in a kingdom that are to rule and have dominion that's been created in the image of Christ, who is love. Who is love. And we were to be in that same image of love. Hallelujah. What is another gift that he gave? Not another gift. What's another love language that book talked about? Acts of service. Well, you think, well, how was God able to service me? How about this? Matthew 20:28 says this, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Acts of service. He gave his life as an act of servitude or serving us. He proved it by not just talking about the fact that he was love and not just writing about the fact that he was love. No, he actually had an action that proved his love for us. An action of service, which is where he poured his life out. He died. He went on the cross physically, took on our stripes, took on our sin physically as an act of service to us. Amen? And look what he says. Not only did he do that, but he also says he'll continue to do that. Because we know that Jesus came to save and to deliver. That was his purpose. But Jesus is what? Lord. And that word save and delivered is continually. It's continual. That means there's going to be many times that you need his act of service of delivering you or saving you from a situation or a circumstance. And how does that happen? Here, look at what Psalm says. In Psalms 34, 17 through 19, it says, the righteous cry and the Lord what? What does he have? Ears. Because he hears us. He's not a dead God. He's the one that is alive. Alive forevermore, right? And he actually has ears and he hears us. And it says, and what? He delivers them out of all of their... The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but what does he do? He delivers us out of all of them. So I said it from the beginning. Is there not one thing that has been so broken in your life, or a person that has been so broken that God cannot deliver, heal, completely set free, completely restore, completely fill with his love, completely heal the broken heart? No. Psalms 91, 14 through 16 says this. It says, for the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. And when they call on me, what will I do? I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. I would say these are great acts of service towards us. Hallelujah. How about this one? Physical touch. Physical touch, you think, well, how? I mean, God's not, Jesus isn't walking the earth anymore. Now, I know he touched people and he healed them. But we know that we can be touched by God because his presence is what? With us. And the Bible calls him, or he said that he is omnipresent. He's always here. But let me show you how you can know and become aware of his presence, right? And that he's with you. It's just like, you know, I can give this example. You are going for a walk down your road, and nobody's on the street at the time that you're going out for a walk. But all of a sudden, you're walking, and you just sense that somebody is maybe behind you. Have you ever had that happen? I mean, I'm not just specifically talking about walking down a street. I mean, you may be, you know, out and about, and all of a sudden you just sense somebody's like right near you or behind you or beside you, and you can't really see them, but you just are aware that they are. Has anybody ever experienced that? Please raise your hand. Thank you. I mean, don't raise it if you've never experienced it, but I know everyone has. So this is how you know that he is with us at all times. You just know when he shows up in your presence. If you don't know it, you haven't learned of him. You can be sitting, reading your word, and all of a sudden you just know that he's there, right? Or maybe you even hear him say, yeah, this, see this scripture, and this scripture is what you need at the moment. Receive it, right? Or whatever the case, you may be in worship towards him and you sense his. And have you ever been touched by God? Raise your hand if you can say you've ever been touched by God. You know his touch. Colossians, anyway, I want to say the word Emmanuel means God with us. But not only is God with us, we know that God is in us. And not only do we know that God is in us, we know that God can come upon us. Amen. In Colossians 1:27, it says, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in you once you get born again. You know every one of you. And if you don't know, then you need to go back to your first love. You know every one of you the moment you receive Christ. And you know that his love came upon you. And you were there broken. And he said, come to me and I'll save you. And I'll deliver you. And I'll fill you. And I'll show you a love like you've never experienced before. And you called on the name of the Lord. And what happened? You know you sensed his. And we need to get back to that. Our first love. Knowing, loving him, knowing that he's with us, knowing what he's done for us. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. No one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is in us. Amen. Then 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 through 17 says this, now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. You can be comforted by his presence because the Holy Ghost is the comforter. When you're sad, when you're mourning, when you're gloomy, guess what? He wants to come in and he wants to comfort you. And you can literally feel his comfort, can't you? And not only does he want to comfort you, it says he wants to strengthen you. Well, how can God strengthen you? I mean, he can't physically touch you and help you, you know, work out and build your muscles. And no, he strengthens you by his spirit, because God is spirit and we receive from him by spirit, right? And not only that, we know that he then comes upon us with his anointing and power, and he can strengthen us and we can build ourselves up on our most holy faith as well. And we can be strengthened physically. The Bible says, just as he raised Jesus Christ up from the dead, he can also what? Quicken our mortal body. Then that must be meaning that we can physically be quickened in our body and physically know that he's there. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Acts 3:19, not only does he want us to know his power, comfort, strength, love, joy, we know is another thing that we can actually sense and feel, right? I mean, you start laughing, you gon' your belly's gonna hurt if you get a good laugh, right? You can know that this is Him filling you with joy. And what does it say? Acts 3:19, it says that refreshing, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So when you get into His presence, this is when you're going to receive the physical touch from Him. When you get into His presence, you're going to receive comfort. You're going to receive strength. You're going to receive joy, because in the presence of the Lord is what? Fullness of joy. So it's about getting into His presence and being able to receive that physical touch that you need from God. It's found in His presence. Amen. Hallelujah. How about this one? That He gives strength to the weary. Isaiah 40 and 29 through 31. He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, He increases power. So if you're lacking strength and lacking might to be able to accomplish something for the Lord, then what do you need to do? Get into His presence. Get into His presence and receive that quickening, receive that strength, receive the might that you need to be able to accomplish the thing that you need to do for Him. Amen. Hallelujah. And then He goes on to say this, or another language, and this is the last one and we'll be closing, is quality time. Quality time was something that they said was a love language that people would need. Some people would need you to just give them all of your attention. Do you know when you do that as a person, it can be draining? When you just are around people and they suck the life out of you, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? That they just have to have your undivided attention at all times, and they just want you there. I say go seek the Lord. And get some quality time with Him. Go fill His ear full. Right? Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all things will be, all of these love languages will be added unto you. If you would just seek first the kingdom of God and His right, if you would just go and spend some quality time with the Lord, God is all about quality time. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful through whom you were called into what? Fellowship. You lonely? You don't have anybody to talk to? You don't have any friends? You don't have any fellowship with anybody? Man was never to fill that spot. Go fellowship with the Lord. Go spend some quality time with Him. Get away, sail away with Him into His presence, and spend all the time you want fellowshipping and receiving from Him and letting Him have your ear and you have His ear. Come on, filling Him with all the things that you want to discuss and talk about, so that you can receive from Him. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Draw near to Him. He wants you to draw near to Him. That's why He made a way with His blood. Hebrews said He tore the veil so that we could what? Come boldly before the throne of grace and receive mercy in that time of need. Whatever it is, and whatever we need, we can draw near to Him. We can come before the throne and we can fellowship with Him and spend time with Him and talk to Him and ask Him the things that He knows we have need of before we even ask. Matthew 11:28. Then Jesus said, come to me. Just come on to me, all you who are weary and carrying a heavy burden. Come to me. Don't go to your friends. Don't go to your all your people first. Come to me. You know, you would be a better person if you went to God first before you went to your friends. You would have even more friends and better friends if you would go to God first. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying a heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you. Let him teach you what you need to heal that broken heart. Let him teach you the things that you need so that you don't go through the condemnation, the guilt, the shame, the lies of the enemy. Let him teach you what you need from him and him alone, so that he can fill your love tank full of everything. It says, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your what? Souls. We're talking about that soul, the seat of your emotions, that soul realm, that your mind is going 90,000 miles a minute. You have every thought running rampant in your mind, and a lot of times you say all these thoughts and people don't need to hear them. Only God needs to hear them. Because sometimes the things that you're saying are not correct, and if you say them to somebody, then they'll take them and receive from them, and it'll be something that will be detrimental to them. Rotten seed. So it's important that we go to him and get our soul straight before we just start spewing out things that are just rampantly running through our mind. We have to have soul control. So he says, you'll find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. It's light. It's easy. But how come I see so many believers so heavy? Heavy, weary, burdened. I can tell you why. Because they're not going to the Lord. They're going to their friends. They're going to this book. They're going to the health thing. They're going to this. And they're just not spending some quality time with the Lord so that he can touch them in the areas of their heart that they need restored. And the busyness and the cares of this life will keep you from drawing near. And you'll be running around in the same cycles, in the same turmoil, in the same things constantly, because you just won't slow down and take a time out. Instead of telling your kids to take time out, you need to take a time out and get into his presence, get into the Word of God. Spend some quality time with the Lord so that he can take those heavy burdens, come on, and give you rest.